بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم، ما بعد. وعن ابي هريره رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المسلم اخو المسلم لا يخونه ولا يكذبه ولا يخذله، كل المسلم على المسلم حرام، عرضه وماله ودمه. التقوى هاهنا بحسب امرئ من الشر ان يحقر اخاه المسلم، رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that a Muslim is a brother of another Muslim. As we mentioned previously, this expression al-Muslimu akhul Muslim, we find in a few ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam defining the relationship between Muslims, that Islam has raised the bar with regards to how we live with another Muslim, we interact with one another, to the level that we know Shariat has greatly emphasized family ties. Islam has raised the relationship with our fellow Muslim to that level, which is what we refer to as the ukhuwat and the brotherhood of Islam. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. And this is based on the iman which a person has. Because your fellow Muslim has iman, to deal with him kindly, to be affectionate towards him, he enjoys certain rights over you, which Rasulullah ﷺ has raised to the level of brotherhood. Another underlying and very important meaning that we find in this expression, al-Muslimu akhul Muslim, is that the entire ummah must live with one another like one family. The racial prejudice, definition or disunity based on class, based on language, based on creed, based on nationality, Islam has come with the message of unification to break all this down. Treat everyone equally. In fact, treat everyone like he is your brother, as long as he has iman and Islam in his heart. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa great effort was made initially amongst the Arabs to create this bond and this brotherhood of Islam, that as Muslims we are one ummah regardless of where we are. And any form of disunity is something that is greatly not just not tolerated. We find in some ahadith the inference where Rasulullah ﷺ said a person will do good deeds till he reaches the door of Jannat. Because of some utterance that creates disunity, that's the underlying meaning of the hadith, such a person will be thrown into Jahannam. So we have to be very, very careful in this regard. Like I mentioned, there are a few ahadith that start with this expression, al-Muslimu akhul Muslim. A Muslim is a brother to another Muslim. And then we find Nabi ﷺ explains, what does this brotherhood of Islam entail? We find in this hadith, some things are repeated, some are reiterated, but it doesn't matter, because each one of these things which Rasulullah ﷺ refers to, especially in our current situation, where without a doubt there is a crisis in the ummah, there is no real brotherhood left. Each one has become, instead of a brother to another one, each one has become an enemy to another one. This concern or consideration that a Muslim has enjoyed certain rights over me and that I am supposed to be fulfilling this, we'll see when we translate these ahadith that how much really are we fulfilling of these rights. Rasulullah ﷺ first and foremost said, the brotherhood of Islam, what does it require? لا يخونه. Do not make khianat. Do not misappropriate the trust of another Muslim. لا يكذبه. Do not lie to him. Do not be deceitful to him. As I mentioned previously, lies, unfortunately, instead of becoming the exception, it has become the norm. We are more often deceitful than we are honest. And when we look in ahadith, where Rasulullah ﷺ has said that speaking lies is a sign of a munafiq. It's a sign that you are a hypocrite. You don't have true iman in your heart. So it's something we're supposed to be very, very concerned about. Rasulullah ﷺ said, do not lie to your Muslim brother. The third thing which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions is hadith, لا يخذله. Do not abandon helping him. What is referred to in Arabic as khadlan. Khadlan is to leave someone to his own fate. Islam does not allow this. Both from a worldly perspective and from a dini perspective. From a worldly perspective, someone is oppressing your Muslim brother. He needs your help. He needs your assistance. He is downtrodden. He is facing some halat, some situation. Islam does not allow you to walk away from the situation. Don't feel it's his problem, so he must sort it out. It's not my problem. We find that the brotherhood of Islam demands that you get involved, and to whatever extent that you can, you try and assist this person to such an extent that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, "Ma min muslimin yakhdhulu imra'an musliman fi mawdi'in tuntahaku fihi hurmatuhu wa yuntaqasu fihi min 'irdihi illa khadhalahu Allahu fi dunya wal akhirah." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as a Muslim, you saw another Muslim, he was in some pareshani. What pareshani? His honor was being attacked. His dignity was being attacked. Or the sanctity, in other words, of his personal self, either his wealth, etc., was being usurped. In other words, you saw another Muslim in a problem. Something of his was being attacked, either his dignity or his property or whatever it is. And what you did? خَذَلَهُ. You walked away. You walked away, he didn't bother you at all. You did not try to assist that person. What will happen? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خَذَلَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Allah will abandon you in the dunya and in akhirat. Allah will abandon this Muslim in dunya and akhirat who abandons assisting his Muslim brother. Obviously, when you are in a position to render assistance. So this is, may seem a light injunction. This is a very serious injunction found in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لا يخذله. Do not abandon assisting your fellow Muslim. Particularly in the current situation where we find that the ummah is in a plight. People are in difficulty, in parashani, in problems everywhere. So to whatever extent we can, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with many ni'mats, with many bounties. And in fact, spending on others, in fact, assisting others, based on what we have heard in other ahadith, is a way of protecting what Allah has given us. Allah has given you ni'mats and bounties, you want to protect it. Everybody makes dua. Marana make dua. I don't lose what I have. Allah give me istiqamat. Allah protect me. I don't fail afat. I don't face difficulty. I don't face musibat. This is a concern which everybody has. In ahadith, we are taught, how do you protect what you have? It's by spending on others. By assisting others. We find in the hadith, we mentioned just two ahadith ago, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, مَنْ كَانَ فِي حَاجَةِ أَخِيهِ كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي حَاجَتِهِ مَنْ كَانَ فِي حَاجَةِ أَخِيهِ كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي حَاجَتِهِ. As long as you are assisting someone else, Allah will be assisting you. So in other words, to protect what you have, what is the way of protection? People of batil teach us, lock it up in a safe, hoard it, preserve it, hide it away. This is what the psychology of batil teaches us. What does Islam teach us? You want to protect what you have, spend it. You want to protect what you have, put it in the service of others. Because what will happen? Then Allah will be in your service. Allah will continue increasing His ni'mat and bounty upon you as long as you will be a source of benefit and goodness to others. And this is a requirement. This is an essential requirement of the brotherhood of Islam, to be concerned for others, try to help others. Rasulullah said, لا يخذله. Islam does not allow you to abandon assisting your Muslim brother. As I mentioned, dunya and akhirat. One is the worldly problem. The other is the problem with his deen. He has become, Allah protect us all, he has fallen into traps of nafs. He's fallen into the trap of nafs or shaitan. He's not making his salah. Or he's involved in some major sin that we have become aware of. Unfortunately, today when we become aware somebody is involved in a major sin, we see this as an opportunity to spread rumors about him or to spread mischief. That should not be the reaction. The reaction should be, how can I help this person? Quran, this is a Quranic injunction. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Allah commands you. This is amr, this is injunction, this is farz. Allah says, help one another. وَتَعَاوَنُوا. Help one another. Don't abandon one another. Help one another عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. In Allah's obedience and in taqwa. So if somebody is involved in some haram, somebody is involved in some major sin that you have become aware of, then don't look to bring him down, but work out how you can help this person. This mission of Dawud and Tabligh is not just a general thing for the whole of humanity, it is on an individual level also. In our own homes, with our neighbors, with those we come into contact with, this concern, deeni concern for them, not to abandon them, to try to make effort upon them. This is also what is meant by لا يخذله. Rasulullah ﷺ says, a Muslim does not abandon another Muslim. And then, beautifully, Rasulullah ﷺ, the message so far of this hadith, he encompasses it in this expression. kullul muslimi alal muslimi haram irduhu wa maluhu wa damuhu. He says every Muslim is haram upon another Muslim. This word haram, one is we are used to the meaning that something is haram, in other words it's forbidden. The word haram has another meaning which comes from the word hurmat, in other words something that is sacred, something that is honored, something that is elevated. Like we say Masjid al-Haram, Baytullah is Masjid al-Haram, the Haram in Makkah. In other words, something sacred, something honored, something that is exonerated and raised, and something that is lofty. So Rasulullah ﷺ says in the same way, like Baytullah is haram, like Kaaba is haram, like these places are enjoy sanctity, in exactly the same way, the honor, the dignity, the wealth, and the life of a Muslim is haram. It is forbidden that in any way that you attack the dignity, the life, the property of another Muslim. In fact, you have to honor it. You have to sanctify it. And like you protect your own life, like you protect your own wealth, like you protect your own dignity, protect the dignity, honor, and life and property of another Muslim. Inshallah, we'll continue.